We are in the middle of Pasuk Ches. Okay, we're almost finished Pasuk Ches. It's on page 206. Page 206, Yeshuvu Yoshua Vitzila Yechayu Dogen V'yifichu V'kachagofen Zichroi Kiyein L'ronan. Okay, so we went through yesterday most of the commentators. We went through just about everything. The only thing I believe that we left out is that I want to go through the Chaim HaSanach. Okay, a little bit of Chaim HaSanach. He says something which the truth is I don't fully comprehend. And maybe when I go, when we read it together, maybe you'll be able to, you'll help me. We'll help all of us. Page 207. Let me just translate the pasuk again to get back into the swing of things. Yoshuvu, Yoshvei Vitzilai. We had two translations. One translation demands of us that we read the words in order. We follow the sequence of the words, which then means Yoshuvu. Hashem is asking us to repent, return. Shuvu vanim shevavim, return. Yashuvu, may you return. Yoishvei vitziloi. You, who in the past, that's the critical word, who in the past, once upon a time sat in the shade of who? Of Hashem. May you do teshuvah. If you will do teshuvah, you will merit yichayu, you will merit to live. You will come to life. The atzamos haveshos, the dry bones will come to life. Dagon, you'll come to life. Dagon is, we have to eat a chaf. I'm just, picking one translation. May you come to life, ki dagon, just like bread, grain, is the staple of life. Ki lo yal alechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. That's not just the physical needs of man, which is symbolized, which is anchored in dagon, does a man live. Yichayu, you will live, ki dagon, make believe a chaf is present in that word. The yifrichu, and you will blossom, chagofen, you'll have the advantage of not just being dagon. Dagon has the advantage that it's a staple of life, but dagon does not remain in the ground from year to year. Just because we have dagon this year is no guarantee the dagon will exist next year. We have to come on to a miracle that the dagon will sprout once again, but a vine al derech hateva remains from year to year. The branches, the vine remains there. It produces fruit every year. You'll have the advantage of being like a goffin as well. Zichroi, we learned many translations. We'll just pick one now. Your reputation, Klal Yisrael, both as the Klal and the Prat, a Jew will have a stellar reputation. Zichroi ki yein livonon, like the best wine. There are many types of wines. We learned over here this fascinating insight from the Radak. Osof Haroife enumerates the six best wines in the world. Won the competition. And which wine is the top of the list? The Yain Livonon is the one that's on the top of the list. Your reputation will be stellar, similar to the reputation that the Yain Livonon has throughout the world. Let's now read all the commentators. The only thing we left out was, let's now go to the Chaim HaSanach L'Chidah. Yashuvu Yoshvei Vitzilai, Amir Azal, Elu Hagerim. Okay, whole new insight. Because until now we've been learning this refers to the unaffiliated Jews. It refers to the people of Klal Yisrael who Hashem is begging to do teshuvah, choizer b'shuvah. Or it's referring to, that was another interpretation, is referring to the tzaddikim who are Yoshvei Vitzilai, may they merit the blessing of Nachas. He has a new approach, something we have not yet seen, which means Yashuv the Gerim, Amur Razal. There's something called Gerim in this world. Now, La'asalava, obviously, was a major shift in the Chidah verse, the other commentators that we learned yesterday, because La'asalava, we will not accept Gerim. Gerim is something Gerim are only accepted Bizman Hazeh at the time of Hester Panim, before the coming of Mashiach. When Mashiach is here, it's too late. It's not a challenge for them to become a ger. It's obvious. The Shekhinah's presence will dominate the world. Will be obvious. At that point in time, it's too late for us to accept them. So therefore, the Chidah's forcing us to understand that the context of this pasuk is not Yemos HaMashiach, but it's today. It's today during times when you have to ask the question, when a ger approaches and wants to become a ger, why do you want to convert? And it's very frightening because the truth is, I don't have the statistics, but it's very, very high, probably all the way up in the 90s percentile that Gerim today primarily be convert because they want to marry a Jew. And a precondition to marry the Jew is, listen, you know, I like you very much. I'm not myself very observant, but I'm not going to cross the red line. And the red line is, I don't marry a non-Jew. And
or to make his parents happy.
So if you want to marry me, at the very least, you will have to convert. And that raises the question when a person comes to Beis Din and says they want to marry, why do you want to convert? Oh, you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend. That's a problem. That's a problem.
And you said a wedding in Kuman of a ger with a geyrus.
Wow, a ger and a geyrus. So it was obviously, it was not that. That's not because they want to get married. It was 100% lishma. I'm not saying there are many, many cases where it's lishma. Don't get me wrong. In many cases, there's 100%, there's no ulterior motive. But Beis Din has a very, very tough requirement. When there is such a situation, they have to ask that question. And that makes the process that much harder because there is an ulterior motive. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Where's Mashiach?
Okay, so there is an ulterior motive. The ulterior motive is Gerus, so this becomes a very big problem. Yet that is part of the process of determining that it's lishma. And like I told you, we went this many, many times, that the way it works today, ruba de ruba, is anyone that wants to convert, pretty much you let them convert. And the determination of the gerus is good, it's determined retroactively. If a person converts and there is an ulterior motive, because they did in fact admit they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they convert, we give it time. They convert, the Mekabel, the Mitzvah, Beis Din says, are you sincere? As long as it appears to us that they are sincere, the Mekabel, the Mitzvah, even if they don't really know all that much, it's impossible overnight, over even a 2-year process. I think a lot of Bat Adidim, there'll be at least a 2-year learning process. I don't think any Beis Din today, to the best of my knowledge, would convert a person in less than 2 years from the time they approach the Beis Din. Talking about a legitimate Orthodox Beis Din, it's not likely it's less than 2 years.
Before they convert, they have to live as an
pretty much, yeah.
A year or so.
Yeah, so they have to be taught. They have to have a Rebbe. They have to be taught. They have to start doing mitzvahs, more and more mitzvahs. And it's a process. It's about a 2-year process, at least a 2-year process. And then Beis Din gives the okay, and once they get the okay, they convert, but it's not over. It is a retroactive analysis. If they convert, they're Jews, and then if they get married or they don't get married, and then if all of a sudden their relationship dissolves, it's just like the boyfriend or the girlfriend dumps them, and then they go back to their old ways. They go back, they just throw Yiddishkeit out the window, and they go back to their old ways, then in many cases, the Beis Din will say that retroactively it was not a sincere Kabbalas Oil Mitzvahs, and they're not Jewish. And that's a lot of consequences.
How about children?
The children are not Jewish. Well, I mean, future children.
Well, how about if they had a child?
No, if the marriage, I don't know the exact period of time, if the person converted and he got married, and there was a significant amount of time where they were living as Shomrei Torah u'Mitzvos, that's it. And that amount of time is very short. If there was a small amount of time that they were really with the program, really, then if Chas V'Shalom, let's say the marriage dissolves or something happens, the condition that the reason why they converted, we know they admit they have a boyfriend, then right away something happens in the first year of marriage, they get divorced, even if there's a child. It's already. It could already be that they're already fully full-fledged Jews. Every case, you can't even. Every case is different. You cannot, in any way whatsoever, generalize.
Does he have to convert? Let's say he's the one that goes back, he regresses, he becomes a goyim. She stays from.
Who's the she? Who is the she? Who's the geyrus? Who is the geyrus? Who is the ger? Who's the?
He's the one who converted.
He converted, and the wife.
Right. Okay. Now he regresses. He goes back to becoming a guy.
Okay.
Is he required to get a get?
That's what depends. That, as I said, you cannot generalize. Every situation is different. Every, no, so the question is, all I want to point out is that today, in the modern day and age, there is a concept called going retroactively looking at the situation. This is something new. It used to be, you become a ger, that's it. You mekabel the all mitzvahs, go to the mikvah, the bris milah, that's it. You're Jewish. You're Jewish. There's nothing to discuss. If the next day, you throw everything out the window, doesn't matter. You're Jewish, you're Jewish. You were mekabel the mitzvahs, you went to the mikvah, you had a bris milah, it's done. You're Jewish. There is no way out. There's no way you can annul a gerus. It didn't exist. Today it's not so. Today there is such a principle of looking backwards and trying to, now that we have in front of us evidence of the life that he lived after he was mekabel the mitzvos, we use this as a way to retroactively look into his mind, what was his intent when he was mekabel the mitzvos? Was it sincere or was it insincere? Because today we don't have the talent to go and interrogate a person and uncover his true intent. Years ago, there were Talmidei Chachamim, there were Batei Dinim, which had that ability. A potential convert comes in front of them, we have the ability to look into him. And you know, it works both ways, because in those days, probably it was a lot easier to be, years ago, it was probably a lot easier to become a ger. A ger can come and say, I don't know nothing, I don't know the Aleph Beis, I don't know mitzvah, so they say, okay, you know nothing? You know worse than 10 billion people out there in the world who also don't know the Aleph Beis, who know nothing. They also know nothing. So you know what? Are you sincere? Do you want to be a Jew? Yes. Do you know the Aleph Beis? No. All right, don't worry. We'll send you off to a course to teach you the Aleph Beis, how to daven. It'll take you 30 years. You'll catch up. That's it. You're Jewish. Kabbalah Samitzvahs. I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Jew. I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. I want to be a Jew. Bris Milah. Go to Mikvah. That's it. You're Jewish. Done. There's nothing more to do. Why don't we do that today? How come today that it's unheard of? An Orthodox Beis Din, it's unheard of. Okay? A non-Orthodox Beis Din, it's not a gerus. It's talking about an Orthodox Beis Din. There is no Orthodox Beis Din that will take a Jew today by just coming and saying to the Beis Din, I want to be Jewish. You know why? Because today we don't have the ability, there is no one today that can say that they have the ability to delve into the depth, to delve into the depth of a human being to really determine if he's sincere. We don't have that ability today. Why do you want to become a Jew? What's your agenda? What are you thinking? You want to be a Jew? Prove it. Spend 2 years studying about what this religion is all about. And even if at the end of the day, most Gerim that end up that the Orthodox Bodim take, they don't know very much at the end. They go 2 years. They learn just the bare basics. Okay, the bare basics. But the Kabbalah has to be sincere. You have to prove it. Proving it today in the modern world means the Beis Din is not going to make you go work 2 years, taking courses, living like a Jew, and you're not finished yet. Let's see what happens. You'll convert, and let's see what happens. And if in a very short time you show us that you were insincere, then you're not a Jew. Retroactively, the Batei Dinim today will say, you were never Jewish. If there was a small amount of time after your Kabbalah, that we see, you know, this guy is the real deal. He really is. Since even a very small amount of time, that's it. That's it. He's Jewish. There's no. But there is today a new concept of delay and a concept of looking back retroactively based upon the facts we have in front of us in the present.
That's, by the way, that's the Rabban Ben-El's explanation before Sir Machlon Mechilio. Because he said, how could he, Elimelech and Yonu, would never have allowed their children to marry Shifzis, right?
Right.
So that they converted already then. Well, what happened was, Rus revealed her true intention.
Retroactively.
Way back then.
Right.
So then she was makabel. Right. But Arpa was, you know, just for marriage.
So the question about the children, if the mother is the convert,
yes.
The father is the convert, there's no question the children are Jewish.
100% the Jewish. That's a big problem. It's a very big problem. And then if you have a situation where it's not so clear, it's a very big problem. And let's say the children are learning in Brisk, right? They're learning in the best guy in Lakewood. So some people are going to demand from them, they want another Geirus. They want the children to have another, they wanted the children to have another Geirus. It's a very big problem. It really, really is.
I worked with a guy who was a WASP and he converted and he was at a point where he was doing Daf Yomi, and then suddenly out of nowhere he divorced his wife. His kids were going to yeshiva. And he divorced and, you know, like the...
Well, so who's the Geir? Who's the Geir?
He was the Geir.
He was the Geir. And the wife was completely Jewish.
Yeah.
All right, so then it's no big deal. Then it's nothing. It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, it's a horrible, thing. What?
Each point is a disagreement. What is the point of disagreement?
The Rabbanut? The Rabbanut came up with a list of all the Rabbanim they hold, yes, or not, they're not Rabbanim. Some, the list, most people say they ignore it. They don't have a right to do that. Even the chief rabbi, even Rabbi Lau says, well, who this is not, I don't authorize this. I'm in charge here. Who are they to go and make a statement like this? Okay, I don't know the details. It's a very complicated thing, and it's a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, look, the truth is, there's a lot of things going on in America which are very disturbing.
Right.
Are very disturbing, and they have a legitimate complaint. The Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael does have a legitimate complaint, is that the authority of the major rabbinic organizations, including the RCA, they're not on top of it. They're not on top of it, and they're allowing people into the rabbinate and to make conversions and to make divorces that are not qualified. And it's a very legitimate complaint, and they're reacting in an extreme way by just blanket, we're not going to accept anything that's being done in America. That's an extreme reaction. But it's an extreme reaction because to a degree, they're right. There's a problem, and the problem is not being addressed in a responsible way. It's like, you know, you have an issue, but there's always what happens in every institution. You have a school. I know a school. There was a horrible thing that happened in a school. A school, regular yeshiva, and something shocking happened. So what did the school do? They reacted in the most extreme way. Like, they made all the parents sign letters that you can't have in your home, a television, you can't have an internet, you can't have this, you can't have that. Why? Because the story was so horrific. What happened was so horrific that a panic set in of who knows what's really going on, and they reacted in an extreme, went to the other extreme, and to people on the outside who don't know what in the world is going on, this school is crazy. What are you doing? This is the problem in this world. You know, you have problems and then you have reactions, and the reactions don't correlate to the problem, and people don't know what's going on. Everyone gets confused. And before you turn around, we're living in a whole world where everyone is just...
So if an Orthodox family goes to Israel, do they ask them if you're Orthodox? How do they check?
It's getting more and more complicated today. It's really, it's getting more and more complicated.
So if your daughters get married in Israel, the parents are Orthodox. How do they know?
It's getting more...
They check you out.
I don't know. I don't know the process.
You have to bring the letter from a true
rabbi. I write letters.
A few years ago,
a lot.
It was in Lakewood. It was a couple.
And there are some that I don't want.
There was a couple that wasn't Jewish. He became about Jewish. If I remember this, what it was, that he applied for a house for mortgage, and they found out it became his real name, and he was wanted for another state.
Did the FBI arrest him?
They went. The article said they went to his house. They didn't find anything with
Jewish
or anything like that. And he went to prison. And the wife, I think, came back to the community, wanted to be Jewish with the children. I don't know.
Okay, every situation is different. You can't generalize. Right. Well, it's not. I don't know if it's true today. It used to be true. It used to be true in certain communities. They didn't allow gay because there were a lot of problems with intermarriage. There was a very big problem amongst Jews in America with intermarriage, and they have very tough rabbanim, and they banned gayers. That's right. But today, I don't.
Boy allowed it at birth. If an adopted child at birth, they allowed.
But okay, I don't know if today they hold to such high standards. It's a complicated world today. But it used to be, I mean, the Sfardim have a different tradition. Their tradition is you don't wear a yarmulke. Beshita, you don't wear a yarmulke when you go out into the world. You only wear a yarmulke
that also
at
changed.
Home. It also right. A lot of things change, but it's a different approach to life. It's a different approach to life, and their approach on the one hand is much more is pure, as a very high purity that we Ashkenazim do not have. But on the other hand, there's just a trade-off, is they're exposing themselves to much greater danger than Ashkenazim. So the danger that they expose themselves to, unfortunately, has led to a very a significant rate of intermarriage, which has resulted in a response by the Rabbanim to ban Gerim. Right. Now, again, that was years ago. I don't know if today it's the same thing. What?
Spartan, like, I think Syrians, the Syrians
ban Gerim.
Maybe today they won't, because
today... They still
what?
That decree still holds.
Yeah. Not to marry outside... They will not accept Gerim by the Syrians.
Right.
In the Syrian community.
Right.
Okay, but all the communist states, they're all blending one into another. It's become, in America, that's the nature of the beast. In America, it's one big melting pot.
Yeah, but not if you know that he's a guy, for sure.
I don't know. In America, it's a big melting pot. You have to see what's going on. Everyone is mingling.
Recently, about a Hasidic man had a business he started in a small town in Mexico. And he's he's a Jewish man, and he's been converting with guidance Mexicans, and he has a whole little community of his own.
Converts.
People works every day.
They drink the Kool-Aid.
Hasidic Mexicans. Sombreros. Sombreros.
They call the Inca Hasidic.
Ooh. Instead of Strimloch, they come to shoot with sombreros. And taco sandwiches, right? They come in, you have a kiddush, a taco kiddush. Before davening.
No
gerim, right.
What's going to happen to the going for Mashiach? Is there any concept of
that? They're going to serve the Jews. It says all these various psukim, and they're going to become our servants to a degree. I don't know. It says the goyim are going to know. The goyim, first of all, the goyim have their avodas Hashem. The sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. They have their avoda. They have their avoda of also serving Hashem. They also
fit into that category these days.
What?
What percentage fit into that category?
Who observed the Zayim mitzvahs? The Lubavitch Rebbe was tried very hard to promote. The goyim in chutzli, the goyim should learn the zayin mitzvahs bnei noach. That was one of his big chidushim, which he got a lot of
flack.
He got a lot of disagreement. People, not all of the other parts of the Jewish world agree that we should promote teaching goyim. It's hard enough to do outreach to our own. Is there an inyan to go promote outreach to the non-Jews that they should be observant of the zayin mitzvahs bnei noach? That's a chidush. The Lubavitcher Rebbe believed that this was correct. It's interesting. I go to a shir in Ramban, so this is part of the topic of discussion from the rabbi because the Ramban Beferish says it's a Ramban sheet. Not all the Rishonim agree to this. The Ramban says that there's absolutely no inyan to convert goyim outside and to observe the Zion mitzvahs. So, and the only place where there is only though if they live in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, then the Ramban says there's an inyan that a goy is not allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael unless he observes the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. But in Chutz Li'aretz, there is no inyan whatsoever. Because there's only that much the Torah demands of us to go and we have a lot to work on. So someone in the Shiri asked the rabbi the question, what about Lubavitch? Lubavitch, well, here we are in America in Chutz Li'aretz. It's well known that the Lubavitch Rebbe, one of his big items, a lot of his chidushim in his leadership was to promote the observance of the Zion mitzvahs among the goyim. So the rabbi didn't really have an answer. He says, well, it could be that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is not there. Other Rishonim, this is the Ramban. No, the Ramban is one of many Rishonim. You have to study all of the other Rishonim. And then someone else gave an answer, which I think was a very good answer. He says, is that the Ramban is discussing his man when the entire Klal Yisrael is living primarily in Eretz Yisrael. But to Bisman Hazer, certainly going back when the Lubavitcher Rebbe did this, a significant chunk of Klal Yisrael is living amongst the Goyim in Golos. So when we are in Golos and we are in their host country and we're under their influence, it's for our benefit that we should promote they observe the Zion mitzvahs. Therefore, it trickles down to us that we are in a safer environment and they are more, and we'll be able to, we'll then be able to do the Tayag mitzvahs Kedas Uchadin. So the Ramban's statement is not necessarily relevant to times of Golas. In times, this man Shabbos, Hamdash Yekayim, we're living in Eretz Yisrael, so everyone is in Eretz Yisrael, there may be just small pockets of Jews, so then there's no need to go tell the world to be observant of the Zionists. But when we're living amongst them, we need it for our own survival. We need the morality of society to be lifted so we can be observant of the Zion Mitzvah. So therefore, it's not a kasha at all on the Shita of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, let's now go further. So that's our Hagdama. Amar Azal, Elu HaGerim. It's an amazing idea that the Rechaim Mitzvah is taking this part and referring to Gerim. Yechayu Dagan. What does that mean? Nase, Ikor B'Yisrael. He says here shocking things. The Gerim are going to become an Ikor. Okay, they're not just a sideshow. They're not just a tuffle. They're going a primary element of Klal Yisrael. The Evsher B'Masha Chokru HaMafarshin. Now he goes, like I told you, I don't fully understand what I'm about to read to you, and maybe together we'll be able to understand a little better. This is what Chazal they debated. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu they analyzed. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chilek Shivim Umos LeShivim Sodom. He's going to ask a kasha. Hashem at the time of creation he divided the world. His plan was that ultimately, when the world will multiply, the world will be divided into 70 nations. L'shivim umois l'shivim sarm. In heaven, there are 70. This is where Chidah is always Kabbalah, has a netiyah to Kabbalah. In heaven, there are 70 sarim. There are 70 malachim, advocates for each nation. V'natal Yisrael al pi ha-goyol. I don't know what this means. This is something very disturbing to me. And he quotes a Targum Yonasan. Okay? And Hashem took for himself through a goyrol. What does that mean? A goyrol? I don't know what he means.
We were chosen? It was arbitrary?
We were chosen. We were chosen. I don't know.
In a sense. It means that he allotted people to
each sar. And Hashem took for himself.
And therefore he's going to say, that's the way Hashem made it, then what do you
mean? No gerim, you can't mix, you can't cross the line, you can't join another party. Once it's been predetermined who is your sar, who is your congressman, that's it. You can't go across the line. Right, so Hashem Natal Yisrael al pi hagoyim. I don't know what this word means over here. He's quoting a Targum. I didn't look it up. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Whatever it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are part of Hashem. Now the Imkain. So therefore you're asking a fundamental question in philosophy, in Jewish thought. And this is a very interesting topic in courses in Jewish thought. How is it even possible for a non-Jew to join Klal Yisrael? If the world was divided into 70 parts, each human being is been allotted to a certain sar. Just like in the physical world, if you want to be, I want to become, I don't like America, I want to be a citizen of another country. Get lost. You're not coming. You live in Mexico, you want to come to America? Sorry, buddy, there's a wall. You're not coming into America. Even if your child is here, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, you're not, we're going to separate families, possibly. Whatever. But you can't. So just like in this world, more often than not, it's not possible to join another nation. Why should it be in heaven, in the spiritual world, should a neshama that's not part of Klal Yisrael be allowed to be part of Klal Yisrael? So what does this mean? The imkain echev shel liskaya min ha'umos. Ki zeh shebo liskaya hu tachas memsheles. The one that's coming to you, the guy you're stealing from that sar, is underneath the authority, going down to page 209, sar, asar shel uma shenoflo lo b'goyrol. Each sar, each one of the nations, it was distributed to them through a goyrol, and it was assigned to them through a garul, an allotment of neshamas. So what are the answer? What are the chaykrim answer? These people who make this, have this discussion. So he's saying Kabbalistic concepts, that every ger that converts really was a member of Klal Yisrael to begin with. Okay, this is a very, very, very deep concept. There's no, so you're right. This principle that you've just mentioned is absolutely correct. You cannot cross the line. However, these people really were part of us from the very beginning. When their neshamos were created, they were part of Klal Yisrael. It's just somehow they got lost.
Maybe they were from the Eir of Rav?
Well, if the Eir of Rav were true converts, So this principle applies to them as well. The heir of Rav, their neshamas, were part of Klal Yisrael from the very beginning. And they just got...
They were Har Sinai,
okay, but even besides that, we don't need to come on to Har Sinai. Let's come to the creation of their neshamas. More Kabbalistic. Anyone who ultimately converts means that from the very beginning of their creation of their neshama, they were part of Klal Yisrael, and somehow they got lost. The spark of their neshama somehow found itself in another nation. Therefore, Buma Hiyavyata now, Heim Choyzim Lumokam Kedusha. V'ze'einoi Chelik Asar. And therefore, it's not a violation of this principle because this neshama really never belonged to that sar, that nation. This is a spark of holiness that belonged to Klal Yisrael from the very, very beginning. Period. Ad kan divrayhem. This is the approach of the choikrim, the people who are the choikrim. I guess this means the people of a philosophy who delve into this deep thought of how is it possible for a person to convert, and the answer is, in a chanami, it is impossible. You're right, it's impossible. And these neshamas that joined Klal Yisrael, going back to their original makeup, their creation of the neshama, they were really part of Klal Yisrael. And something went wrong, and they found themselves in another country, in another part of another nation. And now when they convert, they're just coming back to their roots. You're coming back to your roots. Now, the Efshar... Because they really were with us. Because their neshamas, the physical bodies were not here, but their neshamas were really part of Klal Yisrael. Now, that is the Chaimah Sanach. He brings down this principle, which I think many of us are familiar with, and he's reading this into the Pasuk. He wants to take this principle, he wants to inject this principle into the words of this Pasuk. The Efshar, it is possible. Shezeu Shama, that's what the Pasuk over here says. Yoshuvu Yoshvei Vitziloi. Those sparks of holiness that were part of Klal Yisrael from the very beginning, may you now return. May you return to your roots, to where you really belong, to return those who originally dwelt in the shadow of Hashem. Elu ha-gerim. V'loi tema, don't say that. Now he's going to a principle in Kutchen. This is a sugya in Mesechta Zvachim Menachas. Those who are learning Daf Yomi are familiar with this concept. And that is, if you have a carbon, and the carbon temporarily becomes disqualified, is it possible for it to become requalified? In Kadoshim, we generally apply a rule is once something was pushed away, it was disqualified for a reason, even if the reason now goes away, the reason of its disqualification has changed, it's too late to return. Once an animal... it was fit to be offered on the Mizbeach and then was pushed away, there was a disqualification, even if the reason for the disqualification disappears, it's too late to return.
The mum heals.
Well, the mum, it depends if it would be a mum kavua. A mum kavua, which you never expect it to heal. Miraculously, it heals. Miraculous, the mum kavua. So the mum oiver is not a disqualification. It's just a temporary, you have to wait. Yeah, I don't know, on top of the mud, there are so many examples, I'm embarrassed, because there are like probably 100 examples of this, and I can't even think of one of them now, and I want, let's just take the principle, because we'll take too much time. But the principle is, once something was fit, and then becomes disqualified, the damage is done. And the damage does not allow the holy carbon to return. So why don't we apply the same principle to these neshamas? If it's true that the neshama was created with Klal Yisrael. At the time of Hashem created the world, Hashem created all of the neshamas, and this neshama was part of Klal Yisrael, and now it comes into this world and something goes wrong, why we don't know, and it finds itself in amongst the Goyim, being brought up as a Goy, parents are Goyim, and now it wants to convert. Why don't we apply the principle of Masechta Zvachim, Nire, you're fit, V'nitre, you've been pushed away, Einoi Choyze V'nire, the damage is done. This animal can no longer be used as a carbon to Hashem. Why are neshamas different than animals in this respect? So that's his next question. V'loi, don't say that, he says. Nireh, it should be called Nireh, v'nitcheh, einoi choyze v'nireh. V'hochi nami, he's not even answering that. He's not just saying that. We don't say that. He doesn't want to get into that. All he's saying is, do not compare a neshama to an animal that is kodesh. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us, It's teaching us Yoshuvu Yoshvei Vitziloi. Don't make that mistake. Human beings are not in the category of Nireh V'Nidcha Ein Chayzev V'Nireh. The Hachinami Neshamos Hagerim Hoyu B'Mamir Har Sinai V'Niru. He's really continuing over here. Okay, they were by Har Sinai. They were by Har Sinai. These Neshamos V'Niru. The Yachar Kach Nidchu. He's explaining now they were pushed away. Shenoldu Big Gay Yusam. They were born as Goyim. L'ze Omar, to this the Pasuk says, don't say this principle. Ein lochush l'ze. Why? Because the kailam, because the halacha l'mayis, we paskin. I don't know what he means. I don't think the Rambam passes like this. But in any event, he's just saying when it comes to human beings, at least we paskin nireh v'nidche choyze v'nireh. A person that's nireh v'nidche is choyzer v'nireh. V'zehu sh'omar. That's what it says here in the pasuk. Yoshuvu the achar shenitchu Yoshuvu daiko. You can do tshuva. You can come back. V'chitayim osoif soif einu yochol l'skayer tutachas sar shel uma ukvah zochba. Is this another technical question? Shalom lechem. I'm worried about you. Mr. Lieber.
Leader friend, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We're concerned. It's been two days.
What? Yeah, I had to go to Florida. I'm sorry.
Oh, enjoy.
No, my
yeah, sorry. Nothing to be sorry about. Nothing to be sorry about. Okay.
What page do you want?
We're off the page 209 in the Chumash Anach.
I'm back in my prime. I'm late again.
Okay.
The Rabbanis implies that people are predestined to be Gerim?
Yes, indeed it does. Right. That's what it says. Yes, exactly.
Maybe there were seeds that were never watered. And once they're watered, they come out as Jews.
Okay, but the saying is you they were predestined. That's exactly what he's saying, the true thing. The neshama is there from the very beginning. Now he's asking another question. So what? You're right. The neshama taka was there from the very beginning. But he's a captive under the sar of the Umay Yisraelim. It's still not fair. The fact is the neshama was born as a goy. The neshama was born as a goy. It's not fair to release him. That's the way it is. That's his next question. No, that we don't say.
No.
That we do not say.
Why wouldn't God
say? No, we don't say
children,
that.
I love you
we
all.
Don't say that.
Well,
you're touching a...
Like
no,
that
no.
I don't
mind
doing.
No, we don't say that. No, no one says that. No. We don't say that.
What does that rum have to do with the shamans?
We do not say that. You know, there's such a principle in this world. There's a very dangerous psychological principle, and there's a lot of truth to it, and it's very dangerous. It works, and it's very dangerous, is that if everyone is choshev, no one is choshev. If you have a yeshiva, if you have a school, and everyone is choshev, akorach, kolam kulam kidoshim sechem Hashem, umadua tisnasu, no one is choshev. This is a very dangerous thing I'm telling you. How do you make people choshev? By saying to some people, you're not chashev, you're garbage. If you're garbage, Mimela, this one who I like, he becomes chashev. Some very devious people, they use this technique in order to create for themselves a society where they're chashuvim. The way you make chashuv is not necessarily by elevating people, it's by putting down people. Nischabed b'chaloin chaveroi. The way you choshev is by everyone else is not choshev. That's a prohibition. What does it mean? There are two ways to be choshev. Everyone is choshev, really, but then there are people who stand out, who rise up. And then there's another way to make everyone choshevus, is everyone is choshev, but you were going to downgrade. Everyone else is garbage. Mimela, the one that we don't downgrade, he's chashev. That is what's called mischabed b'koloin chavero. The way you elevate an individual is not by bringing him higher, taking a group of 10 people, taking one person higher. Everyone, we knock out 9 people, we belittle, we spit on 9 people. Mimela, this person who we did not spit upon, he is chashev. Now, that's
so
that.
The army, when they ask for a volunteer, everyone else steps back, and that person is still in front.
That is a principle, but that principle has a kernel of truth, and it's, I guess, it's very dangerous. If Hashem made every neshama as a Jew, as Jew, and now then Hashem goes and Hashem separates us and puts everyone else aside, in a sense that's being this chabed b'kolon chaveray. If every Hashem was a Jew, and only we stay with the program, and everyone else is pushed away, everyone else downgraded, oh, you're goyim, all the nations are goyim, and they don't have to do the mitzvahs, they don't have to do anything there, they have no connection to the Shechinah, to the Beis HaMikdash, then our chashivus in Klal Yisrael is not a chashivus.
Right.
It's a chashivus of being nischabed b'koloin chaveray. It has to be that everyone is not created as a Jew. It's not a bad thing. Hashem created neshamos, and then Hashem took, in the state of the creation of neshamos, a select group. You are Klal Yisrael.
More positive.
If everyone starts out the same and we're going to reject these neshamos that's never made it to the top, that's really a rejection. So it can't be like that. Okay, let's go further. So here we have a Zel Shama Yashuv Dachar Shenitchu on the left side, on the left side of page 209 the Chumash Nach Vazel Sha'amar Yashuvu the Achar Shenitchu Yashuvu Daika. We are discussing Gerim. You are a Jew. The spark of your neshama is Jewish. And somehow, we don't know how this happened, you ended up in the body of a goy. Due to Shuva, Yashuvu Daika, V'chiteima, Soif, Eich, Yochel, Hiskai, Haki, well, it's still not fair, Zelo fair. The Tsar of that nation says, this guy's mine. How dare you take him away? You're stealing this neshama, it's mine. Too bad he got here. He got here. So Tachas, Hasar, Shal, Uma, Ukvar, Zochbo. Now here is the next words of the Pasuk. Look at this. Zel, Zel, Amar, Yichayu, Dogon. Now what does that mean? He shall live like grain. Nasu, Ikor, B'Yisrael, Kuloimar, Eluheim nitzaitzos hakidusha deshaiche li Yisrael v'imkein loylochu measar kilum kiheim ikur biyishol v'doiketev. I don't know. He doesn't really. They were never here. So what does it mean? Yichayu dogon. How does the word yichayu doesn't explain? He really doesn't explain what he's talking about. What does it mean over here? Yichayu dogon. He's saying is the secret. Is bimidayik. What this means? Maybe it's a Kabbalistic concept. Is that no? This is these two words is a response to the claim of the Tsar that it's not fair. The answer is it is fair. He was never yours to begin with. You can't have any complaints. It's on loan. Okay, this is a very fascinating principle. Okay, I know it's
like a senator from the state. He represents those people. But if someone moves into that state, he represents them also.
Okay.
So the Tsar basically is in a group. He's saying a group and people coming in and out of
No, but he's saying, you can't go in. That's exactly what the Chumash Sanach is saying you can't do.
No.
The Chumash Sanach is saying that his approach is...
Each neshama is exactly...
You can't shift. You cannot cross the line. You are created... It's there's this thing called, in the world, nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying there's no such thing as nurture in this respect of being a Jew.
It's all nature.
The neshama is nature. And the rule is nature will always surface to the top. There's nature versus nurture in the neshama. It's always nature. And the end of the day will be you cannot suppress nature. This is also a principle of Rahman, the people who are not well. People who are not well and they live certain lifestyles. And amongst the goyim, it's the big debate among the goyim is it nature versus nurture. And it's been proven pretty much more often than not, I think, in the modern world that it's 95% nature. And there are people who are sickos who actually you can do so much damage to your neshama where you can nurture your neshama to do crazy things that are not what Hashem meant for you. But ruba de ruba, most of the time, I think that's what I've read and I've heard from some people who seem to really know what they're talking about, is that it's nature. And people for many years can suppress nature, but ultimately nature will surface to the top. Because it's nature. And the nafkamina is that tolerance. People have to be tolerant. You can't accept them in the community. Because it's shaloika halacha, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there has to be boundaries 100%. But it's not.
Is that itself
contradictory? No, it's not. That's exactly the thinking of many rabbanim. Is that you have a problem? You have a real problem. You can't control yourself, and we're not blaming you because nature. If it's nurture, when the Torah talks about to'evos, the Torah is discussing nurture. And there is scientific concept called nurture. There's no doubt about that. People can do so much damage to their neshama, can engage in taiva to the degree where they can nurture themselves to do things which is mamish and abomination, called to'eva. But people who are not like that, most people, unfortunately, in this situation, they're not Bali Taiva. They have no history of being Bali Taiva. There is a genetic problem. There's a genetic problem, which is nature. And that nature, they're born into a society where it's considered a to'eva, and they suppress it. They suppress it for years and years and years. But ultimately what happens is nature dominates. When the day is over, nature will always rise to the top and dominate. If they do that, if they can't suppress it, there's nothing in halacha, there's not a perfect world. They're out. They're out. They're completely chutz l'machane. There's nothing to talk about. However, no one has a right to degrade them and to look down upon them, because there has to be a recognition that in the Torah, when the Torah talks about to'eva, it's talking about nurture. It's not talking about nature. They can't be part of a Orthodox Jewry. But you cannot look down upon them. Just don't deal with them. Just stay away. But don't go...
I'm not sure what that means. Don't
be
away.
No, I know. Stay away. Just stay out of the... So I'll give you an afkamina. The afkamina, I'll give Rabbi Lim. Rabbi Dr. Lim, you're not going to see this in Flatbush. You go outside of the tri-state area, you go outside, it's a big world out there. So he was a rabbi in a very modern community, Rabbi Lim. So he has some people in this situation. So how do you deal with them? So many rabbanim, they want to come to shul, they want an aliyah. They want to come to shul, these people. They know we're not dealing with in Flatbush. And they're living a lifestyle which is mamish keneged kol haTorah kula. They're doing terrible averos. It's to'eva, it's mamish chorus. We're dealing over here. They're not their problem. But they come to shul. They come to shul. They call them every Shabbos. They come to shul. You throw them out of shul? You give them an aliyah? They want aliyah. I want aliyah. You give them an aliyah? Don't legitimize them. Don't do what some people are doing. You're like, let's say, open orthodoxy. They're embarrassed. They're giving them legitimacy. This is 100% shaloika halacha. This is a chorban.
They gave them non-shomer Shabbos people not legitimacy. They gave them aliyahs. They took their money.
Okay, non-shomer Shabbos, because non-shomer Shabbos. It's not a discussion for now. It's not the same thing. It's not. This is something which is in a different league. The Torah says, if you don't observe Shabbos, you don't observe. This is a to'eva. They're engaging in activity. Not observing Shabbos, ruba d'ruva, we consider it to be passive. It's passive. Even though they're driving, they're doing malacha, Shabbos in the big picture is something that you have to do. I have to go out of my way, break away from my lifestyle to observe the Shabbos. If I'm not observing the Shabbos, we basically look at you as being passive. You're not doing a mitzvah. You're supposed to wear tzitzis. Put on the tzitzis! So if you don't put on the tzitzis, it's not so terrible. You just did not do something extra that you're supposed to do. People who are living this lifestyle in halacha, we don't consider it to be passive. We consider it to be you are openly doing something positively against what the Torah says to do. It's a different league. It's a different league. So in Brooklyn, it's not an issue. Forget these people. You're not going to let them come near you with a 10-foot pole. But out of town, in certain communities where it's very modern orthodoxy, and you have rabbanim, and people come into shul, what do you do with them? So to give them legitimacy to announce, we want to congratulate Mr. So and So who has married Mr. So and So. This is a chil Hashem. It is usur. But you're not going to announce it. You just let him sit in shul. He wants an aliyah once in a while. So that is the nafkamina. If you want to say that when it says in the Torah HaKadosha, this person is about a to'eva, less, and there's no way to work around that, you have no choice but to throw him out. You have no choice. But if you're willing to acknowledge that that there's something which science recognizes called nature versus nurture, and this person is in the category of nature, then the nafkamina is you're not allowed to give him any legitimacy. But the nafkamina is you don't have to throw him out. He's not what the Torah says is a to'eva. Possibly. So in Flatbush, it's not going to happen. In Flatbush, it's not going to happen, for sure not. But go outside of Flatbush. This is something which the Rabbanim deal with every single day now. They do every single day now. So Rabbi Lim, he has this idea, and this idea, you know, he wrote this like 30, 40 years ago. It was way ahead of his time. This was time before times when people would even, this is like taboo to even talk about these type of things. And he wrote a paper, which it seems like, he wrote like an article, which it seems like was redistributed, who knows, 100,000 times all over the world. And he gave lectures on this years ago. And now, all of a sudden, everyone is digging this up, and they're listening to it, and they're reading this. And they're saying, wow, he was really ahead of his times. His ideas are something which is very novel, because the thing until modern times is, someone that does this, the Torah says to Eva, finished. Les man the plug. Get rid of him. Out. Arois. Today, there's a new understanding, even amongst certain Rabbanim who are more liberal-minded. It's a very, very delicate thing because keeping a guy in shul, you'll argue that's a legitimacy. You can't legitimize it in any way whatsoever. But you also have to acknowledge that there are people today who have a genetic deficiency, a genetic makeup which is...
Would that be Yetzirah?
No, that's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. The Yetzirah is synonymous with nurture. Teva is a genetic makeup, which is something which we have yet to really fully understand what this is. And the rule is always in science, nature will always, when the day is only that much, you can suppress nature. Taiva, you can suppress. In Pogaba, Menuvel Zeh, Moshcheyu Lebes Medrash. If you're dealing with the Menuvel is nature, is nurture. The menuvel, the Chazal, in Paga ba menuvel ze moshcheyu lebeis hamidrash. If the menuvel comes to you and starts up with you, there's techniques how to deal with him. You take him to the Beis Medrash, Jewish education. If that doesn't work, you have to remember, you say Kriya Shema. That doesn't work, you mask the Yom Hamisa. The menuvel's name in English in the 21st century is called nurture. Nurture, the Yetzirah. But unfortunately, there are people which are misunderstood. It's not the menuvel. There's something wrong with them. It's a rachmanis. There's something wrong with them, and it's called nature. And that nature, unfortunately, there's no technique to deal with. So what do you do? And it's always going to surface. We don't know what to do. There is no solution. But one thing is for sure, they cannot be part of Orthodox Jew. There's no doubt about that. And that is a very big fundamental difference between where the Gedolei Yisrael are furious at open Orthodoxy, because open Orthodoxy has crossed the line and is giving them legitimacy that is 100% usser. They have a good argument, a good claim that today in this world we have an understanding of this thing called nature. And therefore, nature should open up a Pesach. So they're wrong. It opens up a Pesach only to the degree not to look down upon them. Don't say anything bad about them. Don't throw them out of shul in the certain types of people. They want us to, so Rabbi Lamb in his community were very much. He says the rule was as long as they don't promote their way of life, you keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. As long as they don't have any influence in amongst the members of the shul in his environment, that's not true for every environment.
No,
it's not a whole society. It's a very small percent. They're 3%. They're 3% of society. It's a joke. It's a joke.
A lot of noise.
They make like, because we live in a crazy world, where 3% is equal to kolam kulam kedoshim. So 3% is 100%. Okay, this is an eye-opener for me. I listened to this once in the car. I don't know why, how I got hold of this, but I just listened to Rabbi Lambs in the car once. I was blown away. I explained everything I told you came straight from him.
But that was then.
Right, so what he said then is totally relevant for today. Totally relevant for today. It depends where. People who are very narrow-minded, who don't know anything, they hear about, they just, and it's true, listen, you go in Manhattan, you see some of the, there are plenty of mushchasim out there, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of mushchasim, sort of the goyim. especially among the goyim, the mushchasim, it's all nurture. Not all, but a lot of them are nurture. Among Jews, Jews by nature are more refined. They're more. They come from holy stock. It's not nurture. It's usually, unfortunately, a genetic issue. And yet he says, I can't all the things he says. He talks about the science behind it. He goes through a lot of very fascinating things of modern science. It's very, very interesting. And things that like, you know, years ago, look at some tshuvas from years ago, it was never understood. Today, we live in a world where Hashem gave us science. We know we have information, we have understanding of different things of the molecular nature of the human beings, the DNA. There's a whole new understanding, and it opens up a whole new way to look into the Torah when the Torah talks about different times. What do we know?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, there's two parts of science. There's the actual biological sciences, and then there's the social science. The social science studies are all biased to begin with. They're designed to produce an end result. So you can't.
Okay, you're saying the science today is corrupt. The science today is corrupt.
Just like in other areas.
Okay, I agree with you. It's very, very true. Every day you hear another story where a pharmaceutical they manipulated the data in order to work. I know some of my family who's in this field as research, and she told me these incredible horror stories of mamish, incredible manipulation of the highest levels. She saw firsthand what goes on in order to get the results that you need exactly, and the manipulation and the chachma, how you can manipulate. It's unreal what goes on.
Not just that. What you're talking about here, you know, the APA, the American Psychological Association, had in their catalog of disorders, that was considered a disorder. Then there was political agitation, and then they voted, okay, it's no longer a disorder. That's not science.
All right, now, just to wind down, before we do that, once we're talking about this topic, people have made this argument. I think when I first started, I thought it was crazy, but now that I have more of an appreciation, I'll tell you, maybe you think it's crazy. Why talk about these people that it's more a Kabbalistic Indian. People, Rachman al-Islam, that are like this. So just like we learn now this principle, that every Jew, is like, one thing is way off the charts now, so don't quote me on this. Every Jew is every ger is really nature. That's really it was meant to be. Every person who ultimately converts, the spark of Yadlus is in him from the very beginning. So the nature will always surface. It was
but
pre.
Those who convert and go back, are they really nature?
If it's a sincere look, there are many Jews who are not religious. Okay, there are 10 million Jews in the world today, at least, who know from nothing. So what are you going to say? They were by Har Sinai. They're Jews. There's no question. Their yichus is ironclad. There's no question about it. So they're not observant, but they're Jews. So a guy who converts and then goes back to his old ways. So if he was a Jew for a short amount of time and he's a good gerus, no. So it's no worse than all the other people. It's no worse than 10 other people. But what about, some people want to argue, and this again is pure Kabbalah, and it's totally way off the charts, and only 2 minutes left, so I might as well tell you this thing instead of going to the next pasuk, is that just like we have this appreciation from the Chidol who quotes this in Lent, is that every guy who converts is Nisham, was predestined to be a Jew. People, Rachman al-Islam, in this category, who gender or confused, or are confused for real, not talking about Meshugoyim and the Bali Taiva and the Mushchasim, the Menuvolim, but people who are really, you know, they are real sick people out there. Rachman al-Islam, genetic, go to the hospitals, I know people deal with this, is the Argo Pi Kabbalah, that just like the Neshama of a Jew ended up in the body of a guy, it's possible for the Neshama of a male to end up in the body of a female. And the Neshama of a female to end up in the body of a male. It's a Kabbalah Zachen, the Kabbalah things.
But it's true, you have a 5 or 6 year old child that wants to change
right.
The sex.
And it's not a joke.
The opposite way.
It's not a joke. This is not this is this.
Influences.
This okay, so this is not a joke. Now, it's very I tell you, there's nurture versus nature. Unfortunately, among the Goyim, there's a lot of hashchasa, a lot of crazy loonies, people Balei Taiva, Menuvolim, and they ruin it for everyone. Because by them, it's a sick thing. But there are people that it's not a matter of taiva. It's really a matter of like children especially who are not. You need big experts to know what's going on. This kid just stomped, he wants attention? Or is there something really, there's something really genetically wrong? And today there are techniques, there's science behind it to understand what is going on. So again, and the problem is nature at the end of the day will always dominate. You can only suppress nature for that long. So if you want to look at this, Alpik, how did Hashem do this? How does it happen, such a thing? So the Mikubalim, they use this principle right over here, that just like we know that a ger who converts, we have a emuna, after we got the Chumash Anachu, this whole very mystical concept, his neshama was really a neshama of a Yisrael by Har Sinai, and now it surfaces to become part of Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, we don't know how this works. A neshama of a male can end up in the body of a female, and a neshama of a female can end up in the body of a male. And that creates a very big problem in this world, because that's not normal. That's not normal. How do you deal with that? No one knows how to deal with it. But at least don't look down at them. Don't go and just dismiss them and get rid of them and just wipe them off. That's naive to think like that. The world is a very complicated place. All right, enough said on this.